Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, Scott Nason, filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. Our broadcast engineer back in the 1230 WSOO studios is Izzy Stratton, as we are live at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, tucked away in the sports bar. Come on up to Applebee's. They are open for lunch right now. You can also order curbside pickup and order to go. I did that last week, and the service is fast, and the food is very good. All at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Coming up on Coach's Corner this morning, we will be talking to Rick Fedrow, chairman of the Board of Directors for the I-500, also head of Public Relations, Promotions, and Marketing, as we are 1 week away from the big snowmobile race in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, at the 53rd running of the I-500. Also joining us on Coach's Corner in the second half of the show is head coach Doug LaPrade of the Sault Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, who will resume play after a long pause because of COVID-19 next Friday at Polar Stadium. All that and this week in high school sports, but as always, we start Coach's Corner with the scores that matter on this Saturday morning. Last night in a game you heard on 1230 WSOL with myself and Ray Bell, the Rudyard Bulldogs boys basketball team improves to 10-0 on the season as they knocked off Sioux High for the second time on the campaign by the score of 56-42. Rudyard led by 20 points at half, and the Blue Devils did play better in that second half, but it wasn't enough, as the Bulldogs now not only have a great chance to go undefeated during the regular season, they have the team, in my opinion, to make it as far as they did last season and maybe even farther. Sioux High now 5-6 on the year. They will be at home against Newberry on Monday. Dave Watson and Ray Bell will have the call, starting with the tip-off show right here on 1230 WSOO around 7 p.m. St. Ignace defeated Cedarville Detour last night in boys basketball 63-46. Congratulations to Saints head coach Doug Ingles, securing his 800th career win as a varsity coach in both boys and girls basketball combined. St. Ignace now 6-4 on the year. They will play at East Jordan on Wednesday, while Cedarville Detour 4-5, they will face Newberry on the road also on Wednesday. Pickford and EUP Conference play. They win their first game of the year last night at home as they knocked off Brimley 61-49. The Panthers now 1-7 on the year. They will be at Harbor Springs on Tuesday, while Brimley 4-6. They will face Cedarville Detour on Friday. Other games in high school basketball, boys basketball from Friday night, Dollar Bay over Bessemer 64-63. Menominee wins over Gladstone 48-27. Ironwood in double overtime. They knock out Lakeland and Hubble 61-57. North Dickinson over at Mid Peninsula 44-30. Nagani wins at Manistique 57-30, while Rapid River over Superior Central 46-28. Other games in high school basketball for the boys, Traverse City St. Francis, they run past Boyne City 58-42. Cadillac wins against Gaylord 55-40. And Mackinac City, they knock off Boyne Falls by the score of 69-36. Girls high school basketball from last night, Ingadine wins at Brimley 59-50. The Eagles now 8-4 on the season. They will be at Mid Peninsula on Monday, while Brimley 4-7, they are home to Newberry on Tuesday. Newberry, they remain winless in girls basketball as they fall last night to Maplewood Baptist by the score of 44-28. Today, St. Ignace, they will take on undefeated Mackinac City on the road, while Sioux High, who won their game Thursday night at home against Rudyard, will be at Newberry on Monday. Girls basketball from last night, Escanaba over Calumet, 56-50. Bark River Harris wins at home against Munising, 53-48. Dollar Bay over Bessemer, 57-43. Ironwood wins at Lake Linden Hubble, 51-29. Kearney Nadu all over Forest Park 74-16. West Iron County wins by 10 over Gwynn 42-32. Nagani over Iron Mountain 55-31. Uintrout Creek, they rout Chassel 61-16. Westwood over Ishpeming 53-43. Marquette wins at home as they knock out Menominee, 47-42. Traverse City Central, they win a low-scoring game against Alpena, 38-30. And in another low-scoring game, Petoskey over Traverse City West, 35-28. Lake Superior State Basketball, they're on the road this afternoon at Saginaw Valley. The women will tip off at 1, the men at 3, and then both teams will be at Davenport in a pair of makeup games on Monday. Laker hockey from last night, good win for Lake State as they end a four-game conference losing streak as they race past Northern Michigan at 6-1. The Lakers now have moved into fifth place in the CCHA, and they'll take on at Northern Michigan again tonight at the Berry Event Center in Marquette. 6:37 face-off. You can hear that game on YesFM. Another CCHA action from last night, Bowling Green knocks off Ferris State 4-3. And the charging Michigan Tech Huskies win at Bemidji State 5-2. Minnesota State, they win at home over Arizona State 4-2. Big Ten hockey from Friday night, Michigan wins at Wisconsin 5-1. Ohio State knocks off Penn State in a shootout 3-2, while Minnesota all over Notre Dame 5-1. NCHC Denver, they trip up Miami in overtime 5-4. North Dakota takes St. Cloud State to the woodshed, winning 7-1. Minnesota Duluth, they sneak past Western Michigan 5-4. Colorado College over Omaha 4-1. Hockey East, Providence 2, UMass 1. Maine over Boston College 4-1. UMass Lowell with a 2-1 win over Northeastern. In the ECAC, Princeton, they skate past Brown 6-1. Clarkson, a 1-0 shutout win over St. Lawrence. Harvard tops Colgate 5-3, and Dartmouth wins in a shootout over Cornell 3-2. High school hockey from Friday, the Sioux High Blue Devils are in Chelsea for the Michigan Public High School Showcase. They knock off Jenison by the score of 5-4. The Blue Devils now 8-8-2 on the year. They will take on Novi this afternoon at 2 down in Chelsea. Other high school hockey scores from Friday, Escanaba in overtime over Manistique 6-5. Houghton wins over Bayport out of Wisconsin 2-0. Calumet 3, Plymouth Salem 1, and Marquette defeats Capital City 6-2. Petoskey edges out Alpena 3-1. Cadillac shuts out Mount Pleasant 7-0. And Traverse City West, a 1-goal win over Saline 4-3. Sioux Greyhounds last night fall to Flint in a shootout at the GFL Memorial Gardens by the score of 5-4. The Hounds first place in the West Division with a 4-point lead over both Flint and Windsor. They're at home to Barrie tonight, 7:07 face-off at the GFL Memorial Gardens. You can hear that game over on Rock 101. Other OHL games from Friday night, Kingston, they skate past Oshawa 4-3. Mississauga shuts out North Bay 3-0. Ottawa over Sudbury 3-1. Windsor wins at Guelph 3-2. Owen Sound tops Kitchener 5-2, while London at Saginaw and Hamilton at Erie both postponed. The Sioux Eagles and Sioux Thunderbirds will resume action in the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League next week after a month pause due to COVID-19. The Eagles will be at home Friday night to Powassan. You can hear that game on News Talk 1400 with myself and Rob Horn on the call starting the pregame show at 7:15. The Thunderbirds will resume action on Friday as they will host Greater Sudbury at the John Rhodes Community Center, and we will have head coach Doug LaPrade joining us from the Sioux Eagles for the second half of this morning's show. And finally, the Sioux Indians, they are in Columbus for a showcase tournament. They won their first game on Friday by the score of 3-0 against the Pittsburgh Vengeance. The Indians in action this morning taking on the Oakland Junior Grizzlies, and they'll also be in action tonight taking on the Iceman tonight in Columbus, Ohio. And those are the scores that matter on this Saturday morning. We're going to take a break. We come back, we will talk I-500 with their chairman, Rick Federow. All coming up on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson. And our first guest is here at Applebee's. Joining us on Coach's Corner, Rick Federow, chairman of the I-500 Board of Directors and official spokesperson for the race, along with public relations, promotions, and marketing. We wanted to talk I-500, and we got the right guy for the job. Rick, it's great to meet you, and thank you for joining us here on Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner.
Oh, it's good to meet you, and it's a pleasure to be here. Matter of hours, people are going to start to smell that fuel, and we're all excited about that for sure.
Absolutely. Rick, it's been 2 years since we've seen the I-500 in at Sault Ste. Marie. Last year's race canceled because of COVID-19, but it's all set for a week from today. We'll carry flag-to-flag coverage right here on 1230 WSOO, and events will start on Monday. First question I have for you, Rick, is how long have you been involved with the race, and what got you involved with the I-500?
Well, I've been involved for a couple decades and a little more as a spectator and then as a board member and, you know, inevitably moved into the chair's position. And I've been doing it a long time. Got involved corporately. I'm a supplier to the manufacturers. And it was just a natural fit and something I wanted to be involved in, basically because it's a total volunteer organization. I have a lot of respect for that. And I just feel it's a good place for me to put myself. So it's a pleasure being here. It's an honor to represent the I-500 and this community. I really look forward to it forever. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out.
Exactly. And you mentioned volunteers, Rick, and that's my next question. It takes not just you, but it takes an army of volunteers to stage an event like this. There's a lot of people involved, and I'm sure you're not going to mention all of them, but who are some of the other people on the board or in general that help you run this event? It takes a lot of people because it's a pretty big stage.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, you know, we're fortunate to have the board members we have, and obviously throughout the years there's been numerous board members, and everybody plays an intricate part. Okay, Dave Thomas, for example, he's a local banker.
Yep.
Kerry Bradley, who's been here forever, and John Babcock. I mean, there's nine of us, and it's a collective group. We all manage it together, and we're feeling pretty successful right now. I mean, we took a step backwards to get a step ahead, and like Vince Lombardi said, for every seed of adversity, there's an equal or greater benefit, and we've decided through our time down that we were going to reinvent our committees and improve the race overall in general. So it's come a long way, and we're not done. We're moving forward, and obviously everybody's really excited to get out and enjoy this.
Absolutely. Preparations for this upcoming week, Rick. Mother Nature has provided a good January for track conditions, some cold weather, lots of snow, which is not always advantageous to have a snowmobile race. You want the cold, not as much as the snow, but I drove by the track coming back from Rudyard last night, and it looks fantastic. How have preparations gone so far, and how is the condition of the track right now heading into Monday?
Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about those volunteers that come out. They work their day jobs. They come out and help water. You know, I mean, around the clock, people are working. It says a lot about the integrity of the people here. Historically, their families have been involved, and they want this track to be everything it can be. And we actually owe that to the people who participate. It's got to be safe. It's got to be right. And right now, it's pristine. Mother Nature has supplied us with good weather. The track's looking good. We're going to have enough ice. We've got a full field coming at us, so we're ready to rock. You know, we just keep moving forward. Starting Tuesday, we're going to light it up.
Rick Federow joining us here on Coach's Corner, 1120, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And, Rick, let's go through the events, which start on Monday. Of course, qualifying will begin on Tuesday. Lots going on at the track starting on Monday, leading up to the big race on Saturday. Just to give our listeners kind of a rundown of all the events from Monday till the checkered flag ends on Saturday.
Sure. You know, it's a week-long series of events, and what it does is it gives the winter sports enthusiast a destination vacation. Come on up and see us, right? Well, Monday, we open the track up to public skating. I mean, come on, it's like a mirror. It's beautiful. There's no charge. You get to come out and skate the famous mile. We provide you with hot dogs, hot chocolate, and those kind of things. Again, no charge. We have the kids race every year. And that's huge. People love that, to watch those kids in those mini Zs. And we build them their own tracks under the lights, and we have our own race officials officiating that, and that's always a lot of fun. Then Tuesday we start time trials.
Yep.
At 10 o'clock in the morning. And Tuesday night at the Kuwaitan Dreammakers Room, we host the second annual I-500 Cornhole Tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a $20 entry fee for a team and a lot of prizes from Woody's, Myers, and Kuwaitan, people like that. You need to come out and see that. That is a lot of fun, and it's growing. And then Wednesday, again, we're back into time trials in the morning with midweek racing beginning Wednesday night. You know, we have vintage races going on. Thursday, we do the same thing. We have time trials again. And Thursday night, we host the 600 Pro Mod race, which is new this year. another show stopper for everybody that loves snowmobile racing. And then Thursday, we have the last chance to qualify, and we have the Meyer Pro Shootout Thursday evening. So we've got racing all week long. Friday we close the track, we prep it for the big day, and we host the 10th annual Miss I-500 pageant at Kuwaitan Casino, and there's no charge. Bring your family out. This is like a mini Vegas show.
Right.
It's really cool, and it's really neat to see. So it's a week-long series of events that gives people a lot to do, and we invite everybody out, obviously. We want you to come out and have some fun after COVID knocked us back a step. So come on out, you know. And then Saturday morning, the hoopla begins, and the opening ceremonies for this race are going to be spectacular. We've talked to the government, and it looks like we're going to have a flyover. And we just have a lot going on the track an hour before the race, introduction of drivers and dignitaries and things like that. And then we're going to drop that flag at 10 o'clock, and away we go. And it's all left turns from here.
All left turns from here, indeed. Rick Federow joining us here on Coach's Corner, chairman of the board of directors for the I-500. Again, we'll have the race flag-to-flag coverage next Saturday morning right here on 1230 WSO. And, Rick, how many racing teams are involved with this year's race, and where do most of these teams come from? Obviously, some local teams. Minnesota, I know, is always a hotbed for snowmobiling. Just how many teams are involved this year, and where are some of the locations where they're from?
Really good question. You know, we get over 40 teams attempting to qualify for 38 spots, and 38 spots, it's a full field. And they do. They come from Minnesota, North Dakota, Alaska, all of Canada. People come from Canada. People come from the East Coast. So we've got race participants coming from basically around the U.S. It's just great to have them come into town.
It's not just the racing enthusiasts, Rick, that really treasure having this event here in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, but it's also businesses. It's also, you know, restaurants, hotels. It's such an important aspect for just the economy here in Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, last year there was no race run because of COVID-19, a very tough decision, one that had to be made. It just shows the importance of this race, and we'll talk more about how much it means to the families and the generations of families coming up. But this race and event is just big for the entire community of Sault Ste. Marie because it brings in so much revenue.
Well, not only the community, certainly the community at heart, but all of the Eastern UP region.
Yeah.
The economic impacts is felt as far south as Gaylord. And people are booking a year in advance and lodging and think, oh, the economic impact is huge. And it's something we've missed. We all felt the ripple effect. It hasn't been fun. Businesses have had to close. And it's time to rebound. It's time to come back. And we think we got it. I think this is going to be the biggest, most exciting I-500 race we've had in years. So it's exciting to be able to participate and help the community and the region economically.
The I-500 is dubbed the most prestigious and grueling snowmobile race in the world. This is the 53rd running of the event, and many generations of families, Rick, have been involved since the beginning. You and I were talking on the air, or off the air, rather, about an individual talking about him and his mother and father putting up the light standards many years ago.
Sure.
And it brings just so much, you know, it ties families together, and many of these families have had grandparents that have either participated in the race or is gone, and then their kids and their kids. It's just a real special event to so many in this community.
Well, historically, it's been meaningful. I mean, not only just in racing, but in preparation for the race, you know, the track work and things like that. It goes back, clear back to 68 when they jumped on this thing. And year after year, families keep coming out. They help us by volunteering. It's just a wonderful event historically, and it's so meaningful to everybody. This is very prestigious, and anybody that's been involved feels it, and we want to keep that going. Volunteering is important. Come on out and volunteer for the I-500. We'd appreciate it.
Rick Federow joining us on Coach's Corner, chairman of the I-500 Board of Directors. And a couple more questions, Rick, before we let you go. For those that are interested in attending not just Saturday's race, but the events this week, what do they need to do to attend? Where do they need to go, and what is the cost this season?
Well, you know, entry to the I-500 is $25 for adults, and kids under 12 are free. And when you get that, you get the week-long series of events. You're able to enter and view any of this once you have your button. You know where the track is. Everybody knows the track at the end of I-75. So that alone draws people in, and we want you to come out. And it's just the thing to do. Come on out and join us, and let's get this thing rolling.
Rick, before we let you go, is there anything else you want to bring up as far as the I-500 race or in general for our listeners here this morning?
Sure, there is. You know, I get asked quite a bit about protocol due to COVID. And we'd like to remind everybody, let's not overtax our people and our hospitals and things like that. So let's use some common sense individually. Take responsibility of yourself. Mask up when it's necessary. Obviously, we're outside. Social distancing is not an issue there. So just use your heads. Come on out. Don't be common senseless. And let's all have a really good time and enjoy a lot of fun.
The 53rd running of the I-500 will begin this week. Qualifying begins on Tuesday and race day Saturday. Again, we'll have flag-to-flag coverage right here on 1230 WSOO with Mark Sinangelo and a cast of thousands. Rick Federal joining us here on Coach's Corner. Rick, it was really nice to meet you. Best of luck this week. We'll be replaying this interview on my show Monday night, The Game, on News Talk 1400, so more of our listeners can find out what's going on. Sure. Let's have a great race week, and best of luck on the big day.
Well, thank you very much. And like we always tell everybody on the board, we always relate to the public that it is all left turns from here, and let's have a lot of fun.
Let's have a lot of fun indeed. That's Rick Federal joining us here on Coach's Corner. We're going to take a break. We'll have This Week in High School Sports coming up, and after that we'll be talking Sioux Eagles hockey with their head coach Doug LaPrade, all coming up on Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on 1230 WSOO. Welcome back to Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday. Come on into Applebee's. They're open for lunch right now. They have all the TVs on if you want to watch some big games today, including Michigan and Michigan State basketball at 1230. Come up to Applebee's here on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Joining us here at Applebee's, the head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Doug LaPrade, joining us on Coach's Corner. Doug, appreciate you taking time out and joining us here on this Saturday morning. Welcome back to Coach's Corner.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I appreciate you having me.
Well, Doug, the NLJHL season will resume this Friday as your team will take on the Powassan Voodoos at Polar Stadium. We'll have that game over on News Talk 1400. The league resumes after about a month pause, a little over a month pause due to COVID-19. And Doug, first question I have for you is, what have you and your team been able to do this past month? You did have a couple games in early January against Wisconsin from the Superior League, but what other activities have you done and have you been able to do while waiting for this resumption of league play to begin, which will be next week?
Yeah, no, you know, the games against Wisconsin were nice. They came over and both teams were kind of in the same boat. You know, we didn't have league going on. Obviously, American teams in an Ontario or Canadian Junior Hockey League. So they came over. They were good games. You know, they were a pleasant surprise as far as their talent level and
competitive games,
yeah,
both of them.
Yeah, they were good, really good players. They had some three or four fantastic players, including their goaltenders. Both of them were outstanding. One actually is from Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. I was talking to our scouting staff. Like, how did we miss that kid, you know? But either way, I mean, obviously we don't really need a goaltender at the moment, so we have that luxury at the moment. But to your question, we've been skating every day. We've been working out. We've been going over individually some film. If the kids want to do that, I've been sending them clips and you know, things like that. Practicing every day and working on systems and just trying to kind of keep them going. We've done a lot of included a lot of things to try to loosen things up, have a little fun, on the ice, and you know, just kind of keep them fresh and ready to go for when the league starts.
How has the morale of the team been, Doug, throughout this pause? It's something that players are used to, trying to navigate this COVID-19 pandemic. I did see the Sioux Thunderbirds did lose a couple players while on pause, as many of these players, you know, want to advance their career. And, you know, at that time thinking it might be better to go to greener pastures as far as places that aren't locked down. How has the morale been for the Sioux Eagles, being able to keep all your players and waiting to find out if you were going to resume play, which you will next Friday?
You know, they're good. I mean, we, you know, unfortunately did lose one player. Isaiah Gagerman decided not to come back after Christmas, and that's a big loss for us because he's,
You know, he played well this season.
First year player, but he was just proven himself to be one of our top D. So that'll hurt us a little bit, and we're hoping that maybe he changes mind. But this world we live in right now, it's interesting, and people are handling it certain ways and different ways. And the kids that we have now that have come back have been great. They look, we're trying to make sure that we get them to work, and then we get them some fun and get them to enjoy practice, and because practicing all the time without games is it can get a little stagnant. But these guys they're very professional kids. Like they want to win, they want to get better, and they show it every day on the ice.
Doug LaPrade joining us here on Coach's Corner, 11:42 on at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And on Thursday, Doug, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League announced that the 2021-22 regular season will resume, action getting underway on February 3rd. The 11 Ontario-based teams will be allowed to return to ice to practice and for training sessions starting on Monday, and the NLJHL is now going to have a 48-game regular season, which will run until March 28th. This will include interdivisional contests, with each of the teams having two matchups, one home and one away, against clubs from the respective East and West divisions in the league. Currently, Doug, the Eagles have played 24 of their games, so you have 24 more, and I just looked at the updated schedule on the website. You're going to have a busy a couple months here, playing 24 games in the span of less than 2 months, and many of those games at home. How has that been for you, and more specifically, probably more for Bruno Braganolo, general manager and part owner of the Sioux Eagles, to try to get all these games scheduled? It's kind of an ever-evolving situation, because is it locked in now, or could we see more changes?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's been challenging, to say the least, to get these games scheduled. Everybody's got their own, their own wish list. Which days they want to play, which days they can't play. We're fortunate here in Sault Ste. Marie that we have, five if you count Canes, but four surfaces, ice surfaces. So, we're able to get games in at our home rink and get them when we really need them. That doesn't really always happen everywhere else. So, if Sudbury can't get a game, because they can't get the ice, then they can't get the ice. There's nothing you can do about it. So they, I'm just using them as an example. It could be the T-Birds. It could be Blind River, anyone. So getting that all put into place, like a piece of, like a puzzle, and then getting, everybody in. And then for us, we played four or five less games than in some cases, I think we played six less games than certain teams in our division. So, we have 24 games in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
We're going to switch it up a little bit in our routine. And I've talked to, Fedorov, my assistant coach, he's played quite a bit of pro hockey. And, I've talked to some of my people that I know in the game, that coach pro, and Jimmy Rock, who could give me some advice, and basically talk to them about I don't have experience with a pro type schedule.
Right.
High school hockey, college hockey, the Eagles is really just kind of mostly a weekend type thing with the odd Wednesday night game. So, we're gonna change up our routine a little bit, try to keep them fresh. You can't really hammer them in practice if you got a game in 2 days, right? And then another one the day after, and so on. And I think there are two times in our schedule where we play four times in a week.
Yes.
So, we're just gonna have to understand that, keep them fresh, work on shooting, work on passing, basics, and then if something concerns us, through a game, then we'll work on that in the next practice.
As the schedule set right now, Doug, you'll have four home games in February, and then March, again, the regular season extended a couple weeks. As of right now, you'll have nine home games in March, including your last six, and many of those, looking at the last week of the season, you play four games in 6 days. So certainly challenging. As a coach, how do you try to, combat that as far as, conditioning of players and practice session? Because, that's a lot of games to play, and like you said, a span of about 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, again, like I said, we're going to have to switch it up. I mean, we do certain things on certain days if we played Friday and Saturday only, and now it's going to change a little bit. So, again, probably 45 minutes to an hour at the most. you know, just again, you know, skills and get them moving and get them going and keep them fresh and we'll see what we'll probably make some changes along the way, or we'll learn some things along the way when, you know, as we get going, because, you know, obviously we've never done this before. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, a lot of hockey, especially come mid February to March, there's probably not going to be any other hockey but us. So, you know, Lakers will be done. Indians will be done. Blue Devils will be done. So, it'd be nice to fill the puller in the month of March and have all those home games. To answer your question from before, will the schedule change again? It's changed about six times already.
Right.
So hopefully it does not. But I think if it does, it'll be, you know, a game here or there. I don't think it's going to be a collective, you know, reshuffle, I guess, if you will. So, you know, I know Bruno told me yesterday there might be a game where the Thunderbirds were supposed to be here, but Sudbury will be here, and then vice versa. Something like that probably will happen two or three times. But other than that, I think it's going to be pretty much set now.
Doug LaPrade joining us on Coach's Corner, head coach of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. Doug, a couple more questions before we let you go. The league has not released any playoff information as far as what they plan to do. Obviously, with the season being extended, the playoffs will go into April and hopefully May and beyond. Obviously, they have to end the league playoff season to fit in with the Dudley Hewitt Cup and the RBC Cup. Have you found any information as far as what they might be looking at for playoffs right now?
Well, the playoff structure will remain almost the same as it has in the past. The fourth and fifth place teams will have the best of three, and then that team winner will play first place and then second and third. I think the difference this year is that second round, if you will, is going to be a best of five,
right,
rather than a best of seven.
Yep.
It's always a best of seven in the past, but that's changed. And then the divisional final and the final will be best of seven.
Makes sense.
You know, and then as far as Dudley Hewitt and all that kind of stuff, I don't know if, you know, what the situation is with that. Right now we're planning on it being, you know, as business as usual. So if we have to get, you know, we're extending, other leagues are extending their weeks of play. Whether that has to go on a little further, or if we just have to cram everything in to get ready for that, you know, we'll do what we have to do. I did speak with the commissioner of the Superior National Junior League. He's actually a friend of mine that I played hockey with growing up in Thunder Bay. And, he told me that it's not as easy either as just, you know, hey, we'll make it a week later.
Right.
You know, in Thunder Bay, for example, they don't have ice that they can keep. You know, their one main rink of Fort William Gardens is older, and, you know, they can't have ice in May. It's just not going to work. It's their plant isn't going to support it. So it's a little bit more than just, you know, hey, well, let's do it in May. Let's do it in, you know, end of June, or end of May, end of June, I mean. So and that league is hosting the Dudley Hewitt this year. So their issues are, where are we going to do this? They chose Red Lake, which is – you think we're north?
Little ways up, yeah.
Yeah, it's about probably 12 hours north of here, so they probably still have snow on the ground in May, literally.
We might too, the way things are going here.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, it is what it is. We're going to work it out, and it'll work. We'll just all have to make it work, and we'll work together to do that.
Doug, final question. Heading back into the resumption of play, the Eagles currently in second place in the West Division, 8 points behind the first place Thunderbirds. You do carry four games in hand on the T-Birds. Play this season, from what I've seen, has been very good for the Eagles. You have a fast team. Your goaltending has been outstanding with Ryan Gilmore and Gabe Rosen, as the Eagles are set up, in my opinion, to make a pretty good run at first place and hopefully a long playoff run. You played the first place Thunderbirds well. My question to you is, what are some of the things that you have liked most about this team in the first half of the season?
Well, two of them you've just mentioned. Our team speed is outstanding. I mean, it's those guys can go, and we were trying to. You know, when we did our tryouts this year, you got to have a mix. And other years we've kind of gone bigger and tried to use the puller to our advantage and you know, be physical. But, you know, the physical game of hockey is kind of, you know, not wearing itself out, but, you know, it's starting to wean itself away. I mean, you know, you just, anytime you have a big hit or something like that, it's a penalty now. So the physical play is kind of something that you still is effective, but it can't be, you know, in our opinion, it couldn't be what you build your team around. So we went smaller and quicker, And we do still have some bigger kids, you know, that can help, you know, handle some situations if that comes up, which is obviously the game. You have to have those kind of policemen, so to speak. But we're excited about that and our skill level. And Fedorov has been great
addition.
I mean, yeah, and he, you know, his knowledge of what he not even grew up with, because he grew up in Detroit, but in, you know, in playing in the KHL, and his brother, obviously everybody knows his brother is he coaches you know, in the KHL now, and so they talk a lot and exchange ideas. He actually has asked ideas of us too, which is interesting to me. But it's fun, you know, and we got great skill drills, and it's been good. We've been really working hard on skills, passing, skating, you know, keeping our team speed, and then obviously the second thing you mentioned is our goaltending. I mean, we're blessed to have 2 20-year-old goaltenders that are unbelievable goalies and unbelievable people. And, you know, I was worried about, Bruno and I were both worried about having 2 20-year-olds
sure.
going into the year, because, you know, what if one, you know, takes the job over the other's not going to be happy, as last year of junior. But, you know, those guys have made that decision for us. They're both outstanding. They both are friends. They work together, and they know that if one isn't playing good and the other is, that other one's going to play more. And that's just how, you know, it's how hockey is, right? And I think it's a really good advantage for us, too. I mean, 24 games in 8 weeks, 2 guys who can play.
Yes.
You know, if you have one guy only who can play, like a lot of our teams in our division, even, and I don't know the other division as well as, but if you look at those teams, you know, they've got one guy that they've been riding. And, you know, that could work if he gets hot, but if he gets hurt or if he gets tired, you know, we're in a really good spot that way.
So Eagles head coach Doug LaPrade joining us on Coach's Corner. The Eagles will resume NLJHL play on Friday as they will take on the Powassan Voodoos at Polar Stadium. 7:30 faceoff. We'll have the game over on News Talk 1400. Yours truly and Rob Horn with the call starting the pregame show at 7:15. Doug, appreciate you taking time out to join us on Coach's Corner. We'll talk to you next weekend at Polar Stadium. And again, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We come back, we will close up shop. Live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur, you are listening to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner, live from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson. Want to thank our guests on this morning's show. Rick Federow, chairman of the I-500 Board of Directors, as the 53rd running of the I-500 will be a week from today at the I-500 track in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. And we'll have the race flag-to-flag coverage starting, I believe, around 9 a.m. right here on 1230 WSOO. Looking at our broadcast schedule for the upcoming few days, coming up here this evening, Detroit Pistons basketball over on News Talk 1400 as the Pistons will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. 5:35 pregame show over on News Talk 1400. Laker hockey at Northern Michigan, 6:05 pregame on Yes FM. Sioux Greyhounds hockey home against Barry, 6:35 pregame show on Rock 101. We'll have Detroit Red Wings hockey here on 1230 WSOO. Nice win for the Wings last night in a shootout over Pittsburgh. They'll take on the Toronto Maple Leafs at Little Caesars Arena, pregame show at 6:45. The game returns Monday night over on News Talk 1400. Yours truly, along with David McKeag Jr. and Butch Davis, the Twin Sioux's only local, regional, and national sports show. The game every Monday night, 6 to 8 o'clock on News Talk 1400. We'll also have Sioux High boys basketball Monday night right here on 1230 WSOO. As the Sioux High Blue Devils will take on Newberry, Dave Watson, and Ray Bell will have the call from the Sioux High Gymnasium, starting with the tip-off show around 7 o'clock. And coming up here later on today on our podcast platform for the Game Sports Show, we're going to have our newest edition of Full Court Press with co-host Matt Johnson and myself talking about EUP boys basketball, as both of us were at the game last night, as Rudyard knocked off the Sioux High Blue Devils. And we'll be talking on the show to senior E.J. Suggett from the Rudyard Bulldogs. He'll certainly have a lot to say about last night's game and the season. And we'll also talk more about EUP boys high school basketball, all on Full Court Press, which you can find on our podcast page, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Again, want to thank our guests, Rick Federer and Doug LaPrade joining us here at Coach's Corner, along with our broadcast engineer, Izzy Stratton, back in the 1230 WSOO studios, doing a great job as always. That's going to do it here from Applebee's on Coach's Corner, 1230 WSOO.